right, what's up, guys? Welcome to the seventh episode of Never Offside with Julie and Kat. Today, we will be joined by Kenzie Larkin, who is the wife of Dylan Larkin, the captain of the Detroit Red Wings. And you two are just together. You're always together, but you two
We're
are just
always together.
Yeah,
she's my neighbor. She's my friend. She's my captain's wife. I joke. I like to call her Captain Mac, and she hates it. You just got back from Montreal. You had a nice little stay there.
I had a great time in Montreal, so I'm wearing my favorite Montreal line change.
I love it.
Per usual. But yeah, it was great. It was amazing. You know, got all the steps in, saw all the people, went to Boda Boda, had a nice off day with Ty. For people that haven't been in Montreal, Boda Boda is this like magical spa water circuit on a boat on the canal. It's just, you know, I go there, I hit up my favorite spots, and it was great. I missed you.
I know. There's so much. I feel like every week it's like so much to catch up on. And like we just got back from Stadium Series, and I feel like this Monday hit me harder than usual Mondays. It feels like I got hit by a Mack truck. There's so much build up to these outdoor games for families and like planning with the kids. And my line change did the jackets for the wives, and so and we did like these track suits too, so I was like so busy coordinating all of that leading up.
They were amazing, by the way. Amazing.
Thank you. They turned out and then the weather was perfect for it all. It just literally stars aligned. But it was just like so much build up for that, and like what the kids were wearing and making sure we had the right layers. And then the game itself, it was really such a fun weekend. And I think from like my perspective of like, this was our fourth outdoor game experience. I also like wasn't like baby strapped. Like I could like enjoy all the things that led up and were around it. The family skate was so much fun. I was actually out there like playing hockey with my boys, and like, it was just fun.
I feel like they've been getting better, too. You know what I mean? Like, because we've been to a few, you've been to four. Like, I feel like they just keep getting more fun and, you know.
Yeah. And maybe it's the anxiety is less because I kind of know what to expect. So it's less guessing game. But I just, like, it was so different and just, like, taking it all in from a different angle because it very well could be our last. So I'm just, like, enjoying it, and the boys at their ages just living life. Like, that is just such a cool experience that I kept harping to them. Like, you guys, this is the most special thing. So to be able to do that with our family and then just the girls, like it's like such like surreal moments, like with the jackets and things like that, to see them in life on the girls styled to perfection. And just everywhere I looked, I was just like, oh my gosh, this can't be real. And then the game itself, there were 2 points on the line. Like we are in this playoff contention, and it is like, it meant something. So that was made it even more exciting. Wasn't the result the Wings wanted, but you know, came out of it with just ultimately it was an amazing experience. And the NHL did an amazing job. Ohio faithful showed up. The crowd was incredible. The whole thing was really great.
It was very fun to watch on TV as a fan. Kind of funny because obviously people know that I don't watch Ty's games out of superstition. So I don't even know how to turn on one of his games. So I tuned into this while he's on the road. Probably he's going to hate me for that. But yeah, it was so fun to watch. And honestly, I was like reflecting during it. Like it was just so cool. Like all these big games, you know, Four Nations and then this game and you guys getting to be a part of it. And I was just like reflecting on Ty's career in a weird way. And I was just like, they've been in so many cool opportunities, experiences. They have so many cool things that they've gotten to do in their careers. And I thought about some of my favorite things that I've gotten to see him do. So I kind of wanted to hear what, other than this game, some of yours.
Oh, gosh. Hit me on the spot. Every outdoor game is an experience and one that like sticks out in my head. But like specific milestones or things like that, I think are what I remember of Jeff. And like obviously the Stanley Cup run is something that I think of with Jeff. And then there's all the things that like people don't know, just like the moments of adversity that they're facing throughout a season that they overcome and they just bear the burden of, and then they get through it. And that's like a personal thing, right? It's like those invisible things. I think those are the ones that stick out to me. I just feel like there's all these like big moments in games too, but there's so many of them when you've played a million years.
Yeah.
I can't really pinpoint one, but.
Yeah. I mean, why I thought about it was because part of Ty's, you know, a big part of his career was an outdoor game, mm-hmm. you know, scoring that hat trick, getting dealt the next day.
Crazy.
And just stuff like that. So it's just so cool to be able to reflect on just, you know, they've done a lot of cool stuff in their careers. And it's stuff like watching that game yesterday that you take it back and you're like, wow.
Yeah, totally. You step back and you get to like think like you get to be a part of something like this. This is so cool. Mm-hmm. And these outdoor games do make you take that step back. Yeah. No. It was really incredible. I have to say, though, the Columbus Blue Jackets, like, I, you know, there was all the tributes and everything around the Goudreau family leading into this game and how they incorporated their family and all the different aspects. And I actually got to catch up with Meredith before the game. Our family rooms were right next to each other. And I walked right by her and I saw her rocking her baby. And I went up to her and it was the first time I've seen her. And I just gave her the biggest hug and we caught up for a little bit. And just her demeanor and her spirit is so powerful and so strong. And she is just filled with so much faith and strength. And I just know that this hockey community and the hockey family around her is helping her grieve and get through this. And I got to witness it firsthand, and just giving her a hug was, you know, you feel so helpless in these things. And I found myself during the weekend just being like, damn, he should be here. Like, it guts you to pieces, and to see their family just rips your soul apart. But then to see the beauty around this whole community come together like this whole weekend did is also so powerful. And I know that that is what is helping them get through. And I can't help but watch the Columbus Blue Jackets play hockey this year and not think that there's a spirit within them that wasn't there before. And that is Johnny Hockey. Like, and I told that to Meredith. I was like, and she was like, right? Like, you can't help it. Like, each one of those players is filled with something different. And it just, you know, whether you're playing against them or not, you could feel it and you can see it. And I don't, like, it's an incredible thing to witness. And I'm here for it. Even if we're battling in the playoff contention spots, like, that is something spiritually you cannot deny.
Yeah. She is so amazing and so strong, and that powerful, all those powerful moments, like the entire game, it was just, like you said, it was amazing to watch and all of the feelings. So I'm really glad that she was surrounded by you guys and all the love. So
yeah, it was special. But up next, we're going to talk with Kenzie Larkin, wife of Dylan Larkin, captain of the Red Wings. We'll touch more on the stadium series, their experience at Four Nations, and his incredible goal there and their interaction and what they're watching on TV. So that's up next. Hey, Kenz, welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you, Kenzie Larkin, here. Kat, meet Kenz. Actually, I think you guys have already met before.
When was that? What year was that?
It was 2019, because we were on the way to Alec Martinez's wedding in Traverse City, I believe.
Yeah.
And we had one random night that we could see the Petries, and I got to meet you. So
So Kenzie and Dylan are our neighbors. We live on the same street. I could actually probably wave to each other right now. Happy to have you here. We have so much to catch up on, debrief from the weekend.
I know. I'm excited. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's funny that you two could literally be in the same room together because you're so close.
Well, I had said that. I was like, can we record together?
producing separately works better. One day. So they say. Yeah. One day we'll have this whole thing set up as a studio, maybe.
So give me some like neighbor details. Like, do you guys have any like traditions or anything that you do?
You go, Kenz. What's your insight of neighborhood?
Well, I mean, I feel like our summers are the best.
Yeah. Like we live on a street with a million kids. Dylan and Kenz bring the average age down, and they are the house that our kids go to for endless amounts of Starbursts, all the things. Just they're like the big kids on the street that take care of our kids when they want to escape.
Yeah. We're like old souls, though. We always say that.
It's so fun. You have to tell. Dylan and my boys are always – they're just – he's like the big brother to them. And Bowen, my third, and Dylan had a funny run-in this summer.
Yeah. Was it this summer? I can't even remember. I feel like maybe it was. Yeah. I was actually just asking Dylan about it the other day because it's so funny. But we were actually coming back from your house. And we were just like, I think we were there for like the night, and then boys were going to bed. So we're like, okay, like let's go home. So anyways, we're going home. We ended up actually watching Dylan's parents' dog that weekend too. So we had two dogs in the house. And when we get home, I go get ready for bed and whatever. And Dylan's letting the dogs out. And I hear this like insane bark, like insane. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And in my mind, because we live kind of like in a, you know, dirt road woods kind of area, and in my mind I'm thinking Ellie got attacked by a coyote, like 100%. And so I'm like racing down. I'm pretty sure I had like one of those like headbands on because I was washing my face. And then all of a sudden I hear this noise come out of Dylan that I've never heard before.
Just a shriek.
Just a, like, the fear in his voice. And I was like, oh no, like, something for sure happened that I can't even comprehend. So anyways, I get down there, and what I see is like two beams of light. And I'm like, oh no, like, what is that? And then I go closer, and it's Bowen. And well, I guess what happened was Bowen, in our minds, we're thinking like, oh, the
boys
went
to bed. These kids are in bed. Like, yeah. They should be asleep. Bowen hopped on his four-wheeler and zoomed up the neighbor's driveway and scared the shit out of Dylan.
Like, the shit out of him. He thought he was getting assassined. Like, like full on. And he was, like...
I mean, that
like,
is terrifying.
No, I know. So he was not expecting it anyways. And then he's like, Bowen, what are you doing? And then I guess Bear and Boyd had heard it. So they came running up. And then Bowen, the best part was like, Mr. Dylan yelled at me.
There's just endless stories like that, and how the boys are always like essentially pranking each other. And now Dylan is involved in it, and Kenzie has to deal with the aftermath.
Yeah, no, but it's the best though.
Yeah, we have the best street.
I love that. That's how it was in Hermosa for all the kings. We all lived like within like walking distance from each other. Yeah. So just especially like you said, the summers
are the best.
The best. But during season, let's get into a little bit of sleep habits when guys are on the road. I think Kat and Kenz, you guys can commiserate on your lack of sleep. I just knock out.
I don't really sleep. Like, I mean, my TV has to be on. Every light in the house is on. I'm sure Julie can just see my house is like beaming. But my routine is that I text our little neighbor group chat and make sure everyone is home.
And we all have to give her a salute that we have made it home and we are all safe.
Okay, I can very much relate. I do the same thing. I need lights on. I need TV on. And here's a question for you. Do you have like a certain safety thing that you have on TV that you know nothing can go wrong if you have that on, you know?
Yeah, Sex and the City.
Oh, that makes total sense. That's a good one. Mm-hmm. Mine was Ricky Bobby for the longest time. I would just like have that like on repeat because nothing can go wrong if like Will Ferrell's Ricky Bobby on my screen,
right.
You know?
Right.
Now it's just like Bravo, I guess, but
yeah, and E.
Sex and the City, that's a good one. Like nothing's going to go wrong if
no. But then sometimes if I fall asleep, all of a sudden my TV will sometimes turn off and then I wake up and it's pitch black and I'm like, "Oh my gosh." And I start panicking and I'm like putting my lights on. It's
the whole thing. Just so funny cuz then when like the guys get back from a road trip, it's like we're like, "Okay, we're all we can all be at ease. Everyone's home. And like Jeff's been injured, so he's been home like for all these road trips. And even Ken's, I think you can attest, it's like we don't get the text at night because there's at least Jeff is on the street. Like, yes, we're good.
So yeah, since we have only met once, I'm going to throw you a listener question that we got a ton. And I actually don't know. So how did you and Dylan meet?
We met, I guess we could say a little bit through Instagram, but one of my best friends used to be on, they played in Detroit, Ashley and Tyler Bertuzzi, and they're from Sudbury, Ontario, and I'm from North Bay. So it's about like an hour drive, and we grew up together, and I was visiting Ash at the time. And I think what happened was, is when, you know, when you follow someone, someone comes up on your Instagram, it's like you're like suggested.
Mm-hmm.
So I think when Dylan and Ash started following each other, I came up, and somehow, I don't know, Dylan says like I came up and then I disappeared and then I came up again. So I was like, it's kind of mystery.
Oh, I love that.
And then finally he DM'd me, and then I had messaged Ash and I was like, did you tell him to DM me? And she's like, no, that's so weird. And then that was the Halloween party. And she's like, you messaged my best friend. And then I happened to be coming that weekend. So it's just, it's crazy how it worked out. But now the rest is history.
Instagram and DMs is just the modern day love story, especially in the NHL. Apparently.
It really is.
It really is. Yeah.
So funny.
It moved from like high school sweethearts or like childhood sweethearts to meeting at the bar to now DMs and Snapchat.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, no, that's how we met.
Lovely. And so Dylan is basically Mr. Michigan, right?
Yes.
Does he have like a key to any of the cities or like a key to like the state or something?
No.
Like,
if he doesn't, his dad does. Kevin does. Kevin's like the mayor.
Yeah, I'm surprised that Kevin does not actually. But no, Dylan does not.
Yeah, I was Googling him and I was just like, wow, he really just, that state and him are just like a... the same, I guess.
What I kind of know the answer to this, but I'll pretend like I don't. But I think a lot of listeners want to know what it's like to be married to the hometown boy. Like, that's a lot of pressure. He was named captain of the Red Wings at such a young age, such responsibility. You see it from a different light, right? So, mm-hmm. Like, what is that like? What does the support look like at home? All those sort of things.
I mean, I think like when... I mean, I was so new to this as well coming in. And I feel like when we first started dating, it all happened at once. So it was a lot for me. And I mean, it was a lot for him. And we were kind of just like navigating together, you know, like the captaincy, us moving in together, COVID happened. Like, you know, it was a lot. I mean, we got through it and it was great. And there's pros and cons to, you know, him being the hometown boy and never leaving Michigan, but it's great. And he's so good with people coming up and taking photos, and, you know, people are pretty respectful here too. So we never really have like too many issues, but privacy would be nice sometimes. You know what I mean?
How do you manage so many people probably wanting to go to games and all that stuff?
I mean, we do it. I feel like it's not that hard, and we don't get like too many people that like really want to go. And if we do, then we make it happen. So we're pretty generous in that sense.
Okay. I should know this. Are you asked or are you told that you're going to be the captain?
Great question.
That's actually a great question. I'm just trying to even think about it. He was told, right? Like, yeah, I guess he was told, right? Like, I don't think he
I mean, anybody that's even considered for such position, I think, you know, shows that they can handle it, you know, whatever. And then if you're asked it, you're like, you know, of course.
Yeah. Do you remember where you guys were or he was when he was told that he was going to be captain?
I feel like he called me on his way home, but this was also the COVID year. So there wasn't like that big, like grand ceremony or anything. And I remember, you know, Steve, the general manager of Detroit, he came over to the house.
Oh my gosh, I remember the picture in your kitchen.
I'm trying to remember now. No,
I can't remember either. Was that his contract extension?
Yeah, wait, no, that was his contract.
Either way, Steve Yzerman was in your kitchen and I was dying.
Yeah, I actually took the photo.
Yeah.
I'm like, smile, say cheese. Guys. That's what I said.
So he called you, and what was his first reaction? Do you remember?
I mean, he was just like, so I think he was taking it all in, and I wish I was like, because I can't remember his first initial reaction of like it, of him getting asked, but I know he was just told. Like so excited. Yeah. He was thrilled, and it was such a exciting moment, and yeah, it was great. And I was just so excited for him.
Well, speaking of being the captain of Detroit, you guys had a very fun weekend. I want to hear all about it.
Yeah. Are you recovered, Kenz? I feel like I got hit by a Mack truck after the Stadium Series weekend. It was just so filled with so much and so much fun.
We ended up driving right after the game to go home.
Oh, that's right.
How far is it again?
It's like 3 hours. It really wasn't a bad drive.
Yeah, like you said, the guys don't even sleep after the game. So it's like, why sleep in a uncomfortable hotel room, get home, get comfy, and get to sleep in. But what were your thoughts? I have so many thoughts on the weekend. I want to hear your take on it.
I mean, this was my first outdoor experience, and it was so cool. I think being in Columbus was great. The fans were great. The atmosphere was awesome. They did such a good job. I absolutely loved it. And you know what? It wasn't that cold.
It was perfect. I thought the weather couldn't have been better. Family skate, we had the best weather. It was just a little bit chilly. And then, you know what? Saturday, it was a little frigid, but like it set the tone. It like set the atmosphere, and I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
And Columbus faithful, man, they show up. I guess I didn't even really know what to expect. Like, is it going to be a 50-50 split? Like, it clearly was Blue Jacket fan heavy, but it was still electric and really exciting.
Yeah. I couldn't get over how many people were in that stadium. It was filled.
Yeah, it was. What did you think of? I loved Dylan's comment about playing in it's the ugliest stadium he's ever played in. Did you see that?
Yeah, I actually got to witness that whole interview, which was my first time. Like, he took me up to media, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is so crazy how they just walk in. Everyone's sitting in their chairs. So I was watching it, and I was trying not to giggle because I'm like just in the background.
You literally just said, this is the ugliest stadium. I couldn't agree more, being a Michigan State Spartan. I think that was the running joke the whole weekend of like the Spartans and the Wolverines there were like, this is the only time you'll see us in red in this stadium because Ohio State, no good. Yeah.
Obviously it was part of him saying that, like just kind of to spark those fans, I guess.
Maybe. I don't even know. I was a wild thing, but I mean, you got to love him. Just says what's on his mind.
So funny. I think he said it tongue in cheek. Just like, I mean, it's old. It's over 100 years old, and it is historic, but more so of the rivalry. I think that's where it came from. But can you give more insight into Dylan's decision on the guys' walkout outfits and attire? Both Columbus and Detroit did such beautiful odes to the Goudreau family. I know Dylan had been thinking on it a long time, and it was really special.
When he came to me with that, it was, I feel like he just knew that he needed to do that. Like there was no other thought. He's like, we're going to do this. And I was like, that's beautiful. And I couldn't have agreed more. And then you and I had talked about doing the patches, which I love that we did that. So, yeah, no, Dylan came to me with that idea, and I said it was absolutely great. So I don't even think he thought twice about it.
It was awesome. I thought it was such a classy gesture, and just the way they included both Maddie and Johnny's jerseys. I don't think anybody expected it, but then when they walked out, it was like, that's it. Like,
yeah, it was super powerful.
Super powerful. And I mean, you and I both saw Meredith at the game and just how meaningful that was to them. I think, you know, just goes to show again, the hockey family is going to be there for them till the end of time.
For sure. Yeah. And I'm happy that we were able to support that, and always will.
Segueing from outdoor game series, you've come off a lot the last few weeks. We just got home from Stadium Series. Before that, you guys were in Four Nations. Can you, there's so much to unpack from it. Like personally, you and I have discussed it, but like Dylan playing in these games that were so meaningful and so he played incredibly, like as his wife, what are your feelings watching this unfold? And in Montreal, a stadium you like you've never been to see him play, like how did that feel?
I was very nervous. I was just like the excitement I had for him, but also like the nerves was unexplainable. I haven't been through really playoffs, but it would feel like that for sure, if not more. But the Montreal atmosphere was electric.
Would you say that's like the biggest stage you've watched him in person
play? Yes, 100%. Yeah.
I mean, it was crazy that we talked about this with Natalie Miller last week, but just that USA Canada game in Montreal was absolute chaos. What was going through your mind during it?
I remember when it first started and there was those two fights. And I just, all I knew was thinking of like that, his, like he's going on, like that's his next line. So I was thinking like, oh my gosh, is he going to drop the gloves, you know?
Oh no.
So I was so frightened that that was going to happen, but it didn't. And it was the coolest game. And when he had scored during that game, it was also very cool because we were able to like make eye contact with him when he scored. And it was like everything and more. I wish I could relive that moment. Yeah, it was super cool. Yeah.
Were you all sitting with each other, like all the wives sitting together?
Yeah, we actually were. And I was sitting beside my in-laws. And I think he knew exactly where we were. So when he did score, like it was just the coolest thing. Because we're never that close, you know? So, but like for to actually like catch him in that moment and actually make eye contact, it was very, very cool.
Did you get like a point? Like, did he like point up?
No, he was just so excited. He had like the biggest smile on his face. And like, I think we all just shot up and it was so cool. I don't even know where my water went. It was in my hand and it was gone.
Were the happy hops back? Dylan's the king of the happy hops.
I don't think I saw the happy hops.
we'll save those for Red Wings playoffs.
Yeah.
Can you explain what the happy hops are? Because I'm in the dark here.
I think it just had started near like the end of the season last year. And every time he would score, he'd get these little like hops.
It's like, you know, you don't see a guy jump off his skates, like both skates, like at one time. It was like the cutest thing. There was one night where Kins and another girl, Gina Gossespierre, came home. They went out during one, because we were in like playoff contention last year. Like we were like, you know, a point away literally from making playoffs. So the last like 10 games were so intense, and Gina and Kins had gone out and they came home and they came to my house and they're down in my hockey room and Kins is shooting on Gina and Kins scores and she starts doing the happy hops and we're just, now we call them the happy hops. And every time Dylan, I think he did it one game, like a month ago when you texted me when he scored, you're like, they're back, they're out.
Yeah, even if it's like such a good goal from like someone else, like he's just hopping away, you know, he's just so excited. It's so cute.
We'll have to find video. But
well, speaking of Detroit being in a contending spot, you know, what was crazy watching that outdoor game for me as a fan. It was crazy that that game counted. You know what I mean? Like you just kind of thought it was like a fun game or something. I don't know. Oh, just like a spectacle.
Totally.
So that was kind of wild, but
It is kind of weird when you think about that. I was thinking about that too in the moment. I was like, this is an actual like season game.
Yeah, it's not a freebie. And those 2 points are important, which we could talk about the lack of call there, but we won't get into that. That's not for this podcast.
No, we'll talk about it later.
So anyway, a lot of people also were asking me what your favorite part of the Detroit organization is.
Oh my gosh, I feel like there's so many of them. Like Detroit, when I first came to Detroit, I mean, I don't know, are they asking more for like community-wise or like the whole organization?
Anything. I mean, I'd love to hear more about the community-wise.
Well, I guess like as an organization, I feel like they are so family-driven. Like they will make sure, you know, everything family. Doesn't matter what situation you're in, if something's wrong, they will make sure that you know, family's first. And I've, and I, that's, you know, what I've learned since being here for about, I think what, like 6 years now. And I think it's, that's everything and more, is that they're also really prioritizing families.
The family room here in Detroit is probably one of the nicest rooms I've ever been in. So it just goes to show, like Ken said, like they're making it important that we're comfortable and we have place to, really nice place to be while we like live at the rink, essentially.
So community wise, what are you guys most active with, I guess?
I feel like we do a lot of stuff, like the Humble Design. I don't, did we do that yet? I can't even remember.
No, we haven't done it when I've been here yet, but because I think things got restructured. But each month we get sent out kind of like opportunities that are available for like us girls to do. I know Ken's and Dylan, you guys are doing things. Dylan's always doing things, it seems like, in his own regard. But the team has this community sense of like taking suggestions from us and like outsiders coming in for any of the girls who have ideas and putting them into action. And I don't know, Kenz, I think more recently it's coming about that we're such a sports city that there's becoming more opportunities for us to become one with the other wives from the other teams, which is really special and unique.
Yeah, I know. I had seen an email recently go out. I guess is it the Pistons?
Yeah.
Yeah, they want to get together with like the Lions wives and to the Tigers. So, and I think that would be so great for all of us to get, and even just to know each other.
The sports crossover is something so unique. And I think cities that have that opportunity, like Pittsburgh was also one of them, and they did a really good job of bringing kind of these communities together just to make it more of a force and kind of an impact in that city. So I think Detroit really leaning into that now that all four teams, baseball, hockey, four teams are doing really well. It's really building momentum, I think, and it's really fun to watch and see everybody kind of lean into it.
Okay, so I have to bring it up. I was Googling Dylan, as I said, and a very funny commercial came up.
The hockey butt commercial.
Yes. I'd like your reaction. I'd like to know everything about it, how it came about. I want to know how he reacted to them making him do like a slow motion squat on camera.
You know what? I wish I could give you more detail, but him and I haven't really like talked about it. But I will say that when we first started dating, I never really Googled him. Like, I didn't want to know, especially like when I didn't meet him first. I feel like it would just kind of maybe give me the ick. Like, I didn't want to know anything about like
less is more.
Yeah. So, but someone did send me, I think it was one of my girlfriends, because I had told them I'm like talking to this new guy or whatever. And she sent me the commercial and I had watched it and I was like, oh my God. Like, is this actually like what he's like, you know? And if you meeting Dylan, he's like not that type of person, right? So I don't even think he knew what he was getting himself into, but it was a hit. Like, for that company, just State and Liberty. Like,
State and Liberty. Shout out State and Liberty.
No, literally, though. It was a hit, so.
He was just doing a solid for his guys from Michigan that needed a hockey butt. And Dylan's got it.
Yeah.
I was dying because I was telling Julia after I watched it yesterday and sent it to her to watch. I was like, I don't know Dylan. I've met him once, but I just don't see that as his like personality. Like,
no, it's not at all.
My response, because I had never seen it either until she sent it to me last night, and I'm like, my response is, I think he lost a bet. I think they made him do that.
Yeah, yeah, I know. I feel like he was not like, well, like he didn't really know what was gonna happen, but he did it, and it ended up being a huge hit.
The thing about Dylan, he just always goes for it, and it's like his personality can pull just about anything off, just because he can laugh his way through it and we can all laugh with him.
I mean, the hockey butt thing is a very funny thing that we all know, right? Like 100%.
Yeah.
Their bodies are just a little bizarre his, to.
And his happens to be like over the top, like bubble butt. It's crazy. So, I mean, it worked. But I think even in that commercial, he giggled, right? When he had said like hockey butt or something.
You can hear it like chuckling. Like, I can't believe I'm saying this. It was
part of the charm. Yeah.
Like, I prefer if I get the right size, then it's a boot cut. But I prefer a taper. Like, he doesn't even know what that is.
That's so funny.
Oh, okay. Let's. Totally 180 here. So captain's wives, they are, you know, typically in charge of kind of like setting the tone and like, okay, we're going to have this, like Ken's is always hosting Halloween party, and by hosting, meaning like setting it up, organizing. Somebody else took that one, and she took on the girls' Christmas party. So Ken's has just recently had her house renovated. It's so gorgeous. She spared nothing and hosted, you know, typically, I guess I should give background that NHL wives across like all teams host a girls' Christmas party. Most of the time it's a pajama party. Like, I don't know.
White elephant.
White elephant. And there's the gift exchange. So Ken's, you can take it away, but Ken's hosts this gorgeous party. We're having the best time, and then we start the gift exchange.
I guess in my defense, I had ordered this gift, and it was kind of last minute because I was so focused on making sure this party was like great, because I haven't hosted in so long and I missed it so much. So I really wanted to go all out for the girls, and I realized that my gift wasn't going to come in on time. So, you know, I was like, I'm just going to go on Revolve and go on their like home. They had like Home Goods, which I didn't even realize they had, because I originally had got like a Loewe candle and it wasn't going to come in. So I'm like, okay. So I went on Revolve home, because I knew it was probably going to like ship within like a day or two. And for some reason, I thought it was a good idea to buy like Missoni towels.
By towels, she means one hand towel and one body towel that can fit an infant.
Which I had no idea. I thought they were beach towels. Like, I thought it was just a regular towel, and I had no idea why I thought someone would be like so grateful for this gift. It's so stupid. Anyways, it came in and I opened it and I was like, oh geez, like this is, you know, interesting. And I remember Dylan looked at me like, just like, oh, that's what you got. Like, that's your gift. And I'm like, yeah, it's like, it's cute, right? And then he didn't really say much, and that's like when I knew it was like ridiculous, but I was still gonna wrap it. And anyways, the white elephant game started, and I see Julie pick up my gift, and I mean I love it. Like, I love the fact that she ended up getting this gift. But you had to explain your reaction, Julie. It's the best.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm also just like a competitive person. So I want to walk out of this party with the best gift. So I'm analyzing like wrapping, like cute wrapping. Should I go bigger box? Should I go medium? You know, I'm being a child in this guessing game. And I pick, you know, a beautifully wrapped gift, and I unwrap it. And it's a hand towel and what I think is a infant towel. I don't know. And I'm like, and you know, you don't know whose it is right away, because
you play it off.
I was like, oh my gosh, Missoni, so great, I love it.
Is there a gift receipt? Is there a gift receipt?
I'm like digging. I'm like, maybe it's taped to the bottom of the box. And I'm like, okay, I go sit down. Nobody wants to steal it. Like, we get to the next person, nobody see. And I'm like, look, towels. You know, people who like their gifts, they kind of like shove it to the side so you forget about it. I'm like, I have these really pretty towels. Like, I'm going to put them in my powder bath. But like, if you want them, whatever. And then like, I've had like one more drink, and then like I realize my gift is not going to get stolen. And I walk up to do something, and then I walk past Ken's and another girl, and I'm like, she can have the fucking towel. And no. Ken's looks at me and she goes, those are my towels. It's like,
that's great.
I was like, oh my. I go, and then I just like totally went with it. I was like, you got towels. And then she told me Dylan's reaction, and I felt better for being such a bitch about it.
Yeah. But it's the best. Now we laugh. She ended up getting it. because yeah. now you're stuck with them. And now I feel like we're going to have to like do pranks and somehow
we're going
to
regift these things throughout the neighborhood.
Yeah.
That better be every year. You better bring those towels back. Actually, bring another set every year. So someone yeah. eventually will get like a
actually
know, like a
send me the link, Kins. Maybe another set is only what I need.
You know, it's so fun.
The funniest part too was Julie was after she had made the comment saying like whatever she said, she tried to like justify herself being like, you know what, Lulu's gonna love this. Lulu's gonna love these towels down in the basement, and Lulu's her mom. And I was like, oh good, yes, Lulu's gonna love those. And then after it became a running joke that they were just a shit gift.
Well, then Lulu got here and Lulu goes, you only got one? Like, you only got one set? Can you find out where she got them? I was like, I'll get the link.
There is nothing more mortifying than no one stealing your gift. It's like,
oh, I know. But you know what? I knew it was such a bad gift. And I was like, I wasn't going to beat myself up about it. And I was just happy that Julie got it because I love to like screw with her. So I'm like, perfect.
I'm happy I got it and nobody else. I can handle it. It's actually being put to use. So we are fine and all is good in the world. But
I just laugh. I always seem to pull the naughty gift at our girls. There's always one girl that brings like some sort of naughty gift, right?
I wish we had that. I feel like all of ours is like beauty, and like I would love a funny little.
Oh, you know, I somehow on 800 different teams always somehow I'm the one that pulls like the kind of embarrassing one to open. Not you know, but
that's
those,
so funny.
Yeah.
Does anyone steal it from you, or do you end up having
those
to keep
ones,
it?
Those ones get stolen, which is fine.
It's telling. It's yeah. telling. Oh. It's telling when – it's one thing if you pick it just because that's the gift you grabbed, but it's the other. It's another thing if somebody's stealing it.
Yeah, they always do kind of like the silent, like come up and like grab it and then just like
– Yeah.
And then you're like, you didn't see anything.
Yeah, let's not cause a scene here, but like I don't know. I love a good white elephant. You know, I always want to gift someone like a something – kind of just to stir the pot. Like I always want to gift someone like a tank of goldfish or something. Like,
oh my gosh, that'd be
funny. Like, what the yeah
now you have to take care of this, you know, like it's just it's funny how
oh like know. Real goldfish. I was yeah. thinking like crackers. Oh no, my no. gosh.
Oh, no. Oh my gosh, if you do that, please make sure you record it. That would be hilarious.
It's always just my kind of thought. I'm like, I mean, I would like to get that, but also some people would be like, F you for giving me this like giant responsibility.
I love a good joke. Like I think pranksters are like the best. So that's I pranked you, Julie.
Okay, I think we can get into our quick shootout questions. Kins, we have a couple fun ones for you. This is so funny to start it off with you because I literally always ask Kins this question. She's my go-to girl with what are you watching right now?
Oh my gosh. Right now we just started The White Lotus because the season 3 just came out. So we just started that. Love it so far.
Mm-hmm.
So good.
Did you watch that, Julie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're watching. So I think that's on cue tonight because it came out last night too late for us to stay up.
Yeah.
So
I know we didn't watch it. Kat, are you watching it too?
Yeah, but I'm still on season 2 being the best so far.
Okay. Okay.
In my opinion. But this is getting good.
Oh, I 100%. I'm like sleeping like when I open watching this one. I'm like, still, Italy was the best. Like nothing can change that for me. Yeah. But
yeah.
Okay.
And I think Severance is also a good one. It's interesting, but yeah, it's good. You have to kind of you either love
you
it or
you have to focus.
I gotta stop.
Yeah. It's really, but it's interesting. It's a little slow at first, but it gets really good. It's yeah. I would
okay.
suggest it.
I'll put that on my list. Although Jeff probably watches it without me when he's gone. So
yeah. Same with Ty probably. Okay. Favorite place you and Dylan have ever traveled together?
Oh, I feel like there's a lot. I mean, I love going home with him to North Bay in the summer. That's always like a good time. And we love Cabo. So those two, I would say.
My favorite place to travel with Dylan is London, England. I got to experience that this last summer and went to a soccer game. Jeff and I just happened to meet up with him and his dad at the FA Cup. And I, like a whole new side of Dylan Larkin was yes. just
He's a good travel buddy. He really just like takes over and he's so good at like his like where we are. And, you know, he's great.
The best.
Yeah. He's a good
that's
travel
a huge,
buddy.
That's a great trait. in a husband, just truly. Travel buddy. That it really is the best.
Yeah.
What is your favorite thing about Dylan?
My favorite thing about Dylan, this might be the cheesiest thing ever, but his heart. He has the best heart.
That's not cheesy. That's adorable.
Yeah, he's just the best. Not even just because he's my husband, but he really is like the best guy. And I think everyone would say the same thing.
I concur. He is the best.
Okay, so is there anything he does that annoys you? Since he's the best, there's got to be something.
If there's not, then we have a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, I think he's a little messy. Like, I think picking up after him, you know, like his clothes, like he could be probably better at putting them in the hamper.
Yeah. How about how cutting it close to getting to the rink on time or making sure he wakes up in time?
That
stresses me out because I can see his car in the driveway. And when my husband leaves like an hour and a half before him on practice days. And I'm like, should I text Kins to see if Dylan is like missed his alarm? Like I'm being total mom mode of like, and now it's a running joke. Like Dylan's like, did you see how close I cut it today? And like, don't ever do it again.
And I don't know how he does it because I guess this is one thing that Dylan and I butt heads on. Is that like I am so timely, like to the point where I'm too early almost. Oh,
like yes.
Always, always, always on time. It is like I cannot be late. I just can't do it. So for him to wake up and literally I think he sets his alarm and then he has like 30 seconds to wake up and then he's out the door. I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He does it.
It's funny. It's pretty amazing how he can
cut it close. Let me tell you though.
Yeah, he sure does.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
What is the one makeup product thing in your drawer that you can't live without right now?
Oh, you know me. I'm not really like a huge makeup girl, but probably like my Summer Fridays lip. You know,
I love that. It's easy,
simple.
I'm actually looking for mine right now. I usually have one right here by my computer. And it's bothering. I think the boys took it and are using it as a marker.
Yeah. Like I'm not a blush person because I feel like my cheeks are always like red. So if I put blush on, it just doesn't work. But yeah. No, I would say the Summer Fridays lip.
Love that.
Okay. Dylan's pregame meal.
Pregame meal. Well, he's actually started making his own.
What?
And it is. That's interesting. Yes. Yeah. They would always go to Sal's. It's like a Italian restaurant here in Birmingham, but he started making his own and he's pasta. He's gluten-free right now, actually.
Wow.
Pasta with chickpea pasta and then chicken.
Wow. Yeah. So he's coming home and boiling the pasta and
sometimes I'll help him out a little bit if I'm home. Like I'll help, you know.
Do you have friends, Kat? You too. Sorry, we're going to digress a little bit, but like I know some girls that have cooked every single pregame meal for their husbands or boyfriends from day one. And I'm like, jaw on the ground. Like that, like their whole day revolves around making chicken parm. Like chicken parm.
Yeah, we go in waves. In Montreal, I was making him chicken parm.
Oh, Kat, you too? Holy shit. Yep. Oh my God, we're not worthy. I'm like throwing him a box of goldfish and saying, good luck, buddy.
I mean, I had the time, especially there during COVID, but yeah. I mean, you know.
That's amazing.
Here I make the pasta.
You heard it here. Dylan Larkin making his own pregame meal.
That is very interesting. I've never heard that.
I shouldn't say he did it all season. He's just started maybe like a couple months ago, but it's
whatever
great.
Works.
He likes it, and I'll help him boil the water. He's actually turning into quite the chef. I got to give it to him.
I mean, with a kitchen that looks like yours now, you better be. That thing is gorgeous.
he's cooking away.
So a sidebar from his pregame meal that he cooks, are there any superstitions that he has?
No, Dill's not really no, there's nothing crazy. No, he's pretty chill, actually.
Just a chill chef. That's cool.
Yeah.
Chill chef.
Yeah, just a chill chef for sure. No, there's nothing crazy.
Dylan, kind of come over. When are you going to invite us over for dinner, guys? Actually.
I know.
Tell us, Tell us when.
Jeff knows. Jeff can go over there for pregame meal now.
Yeah, really. okay, what is a favorite concert you and Dylan have gone to recently?
Zach Bryan concert.
That was epic.
That was a great one.
We met up.
Oh. Yeah. We just like, yeah, we saw each other.
There's something about Detroit in the summer concert series here and the amount of players that are here that it just becomes like this whole meeting spot and it just becomes a night. And it's
where honestly, was that one?
Ford Field.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Super fun.
You know what? I think I'm done with Ford Field though. Like I think I could do Ford Field like once a summer and then I'm done. Like I'm done.
I don't even want to see it again. Ford Field concerts are tough. Is it hard to get in and out? When you're with Dylan Larkin, you can get in and out real quick. but it's just the it's a lot. It's just a lot. Like I prefer a DTE like Pine Knob. That's just like the intimate like place. And LCA, we Kins had told me, and I just recently a group of us went to Kelsey Ballerini at LCA in that concert. The concert wasn't that great. The atmosphere, I was like, I need to come back and have like a Post Malone here.
Yeah, we went to Post Malone a couple years ago with some of the girls. It was like right, I think, at the beginning of the season, and it was the coolest thing. I mean, even we saw the Lumineers 1 year too. It's the best for concerts.
Yeah.
Okay, so finally, before we wrap this up, what would the perfect off day be for you two?
The perfect off day, we like to just chill. We like to hang out. We'll run some errands. We'll probably go to the grocery store, but we like to just hang out. Dylan's really into reading right now, so he'd probably just read his Kindle that I got him for Christmas, and I would just hang out and do nothing, which is just nice.
It is nice to do nothing.
Yeah. Get a nap in since you can't sleep when he's gone, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much thanks for joining us and telling us all that. That was great. And it was nice to meet you again.
Yes. I hope you can hang out with us in the summertime.
That would be fun. Let's do that.
Come on.
All right. Yeah.
Okay. Bye, guys. Thank you.
All right. That was fun. Kenzie's great. What a fun neighbor you have.
The best.
Really? I enjoyed you know, the funniest thing, obviously, other than the commercial, I love that he cooks his pregame meals. I think that's like...
That was new to me, too. I'm like, invite us over for dinner, guys. Like, I want to see what you got, your skills you got there.
It's funny. I've never heard that.
Yeah.
Before. And we hear...
I feel like that'd be something Jeff would do, to be quite honest.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah, but... Well.
It is a big week here in our husband's world.
Oh, my gosh.
Trade deadline is coming up. And we are
the date very that's circled on everyone's hockey calendars.
Yeah. Julie and I are very sensitive to this week. It is emotional. It is crazy. I mean, as people that have been in this position many times, I will say what you do during this week is you look at your phone. For me, I read all the tweets.
Too much screen time is what it is.
Yeah, and I think that – so I get asked this question all the time. It's like, how does a trade work? Like, are you just blindsided, right? And for the most part, no. You know it's coming. Mm-hmm. Like, you're told by the GM, your agent, whatever. I was kind of thinking of – it's kind of like when you're about to get proposed to and your friend's like, hey, maybe you should get a manicure, you know? Like you don't know when it's coming, but you know it's coming. Soon. So it's kind of like that, but in a dark way. But yeah, you just – the thing is, you know it's coming. You just don't know when it's coming. And now we're on that week where it really picks up and – yeah, it's a crazy, crazy week for everyone.
Yeah,
so.
A lot of significant others are on pins and needles this week for sure. Kind of playing through, I would think, you know, every scenario, mm-hmm. right? There's always different scenarios that you're either given or you read into. And something could be completely false and your brain will read into it more and make it, you might make it make sense.
Yeah.
So it's just a big mind game up until Friday, which is exhausting. And then, you know, the logistical parts play into it, and players are on the next plane to get into whatever city it is to play in that game that night, if possible.
Well, that is another thing that people wouldn't know. Like, it's not like, you could be on a road trip and you're on the next plane to that new city, and you're
with one pair of underwear, yeah, and one suit.
Always Tyler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, and then if you have a girlfriend or wife, then, you know, we'll go find you wherever that new place is, and maybe bring you a suitcase of things. But if you're single, that's where the teams kind of come in, or like a, you know, wife like you and I sometimes. Yeah, I've helped
to pack up your stuff.
Yeah, I've helped a couple of the young guys before. So it's just it's crazy. Kind of a team effort, you know. So and then what happens after you get the call and then you're on that first flight, then the new team steps in and will help you move. That's
the
normally.
Transfer of power.
Yes. Yes. But you still gotta, you know, like, it's funny. People have asked me, like, what happens to, like, your fridge at home? Like, you know what I mean?
You
like,
give away all your groceries. That's what you do. Like, I gave away all of our bison, our half a bison we owned in Edmonton. And you get a bag of bison.
You know, I was thinking of Ty's, like, all the trades. And the craziest one was the Montreal one. Because we knew it was coming. Because, you know, they went to the Stanley Cup final. And then the next... made history the next year as like last place. Remember that fun stat that we got to learn? So I knew it was coming, but then I didn't know when. So I was confidently in LA at the Super Bowl, just like living life, like had a flight the next day to Montreal. So I was not blindsided that the trade was happening. But
it's just when.
On when.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, more of these stories next week for sure. Yeah. We're gonna tap into all of that and have a guest that's going to lean into it too with us. So.
Yeah, for sure.
More to share, and we'll be able to debrief what actually happens.
And just to everyone in the position right now in this world, I know a lot of wives listen to this. You know, we're here for you. We sympathize. It's a crazy time, and I just hope that everyone has a week that's not as stressful as can be, I guess.
Yeah, for sure. All right, thanks for listening to Never Offside. Just go like, subscribe, follow, share, listen in. Go back to previous episodes and listen in to our previous guests. We had Nick Suzuki's soon-to-be wife, Natalie Miller last week, Kevin Connolly. You know, you name it, Eric Stonestreet and Garzy. So, lot to listen to. And how can I forget Angela Price? Damn.
Yeah, I was gonna say.
Yeah. Sorry, Ange. Go back and listen. Do what you do. We appreciate it. Thanks for listening.